So that's our church bell?
Yes.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Because there isn't another one left in town, right?
Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Hendricks County. I am Julian, a member of your board. Sunday is that day when we gather together to deepen our spirituality and support each other in our free and responsible search for truth and meaning in our lives. I'm going to slow down now.
I feel the passion, Julian.
Too much adrenaline. I've been working and keeping this thing started. Anyway, if you are a visitor, we are delighted you are here. If you are interested in receiving further information, please fill out a visitor card that can be found at the table at the back of the sanctuary or over there, or, you know, talk to any one of us who probably knows where it is. After the service, please stay with us. We would love to get to know you. Whatever your faith, whatever your heritage, today you are a part of our religious community. We keep up to date with church happenings through our newsletter, but each Sunday we generally have a few announcements to either highlight or add to that information. Top of that list, game night is on the first Wednesday of every month from 5 to 9 p.m. right here. Other than that, upcoming services, March 3rd. Wow. Are we already at the end of February?
Yeah.
Dang. That went fast. Anyway, March 3rd, Annie Johnson, Connections and the thing that you do and something else does.
Reciprocity.
That word. Roots, leaves, trees, and churches. March 10th, Natalie Brake, Second Sunday, Exploring Article 2, Purpose, Inspirations, Inclusion, and Freedom of Belief. March 17th is a town hall. We're going to have the board leading some stuff. We're going to talk about something. I don't know. Annie, what are we doing on the town hall that's on 17th?
Approving a budget?
The town hall.
We're going to be talking about...
We're
going to be talking about the church.
There's a lot going on and a lot of change going on. And I want to get people's thoughts, and I also want to throw those things out there. I think we're kind of in a chaotic state where we started growing again, and there's things that we need to figure out how to do.
Excellent. So, you know, we're going to be talking about the state of the church, getting people's opinions, feeling... We're going to be spreading some fingers around a field, figuratively. March 24th, Lisa Johnson, Indiana Criminal Law, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Any other announcements? Jeff, climate? Right.
Tenth
of March.
Okay, because we have to prepare the budget and
get
that.
All right. Yes.
When we send out the annual meeting announcements.
Excellent.
That's important. I'm sorry.
Other than that, is that all? Today.
Literally.
Right there.
And I don't see some of the new people that I hope were going to be here, so we'll probably do it again, but you have to do it before you can sign the book and become a member, and if you just want to vote in the annual meeting, you have until the end of February to take this class.
Excellent. Yep, so if you want to vote in the next election for church stuff and the all that stuff, and you're not already a member, go to that class, and you'll be able to sign the book later and become a member. I believe that is all. Nothing else? Excellent. In the spirit of fellowship and community, please take a moment to greet those around you. And then we can do the prelude.
If we could find our seats, the prelude this morning is a very special selection in honor of Black History Month, Stormy Weather, sung by Lena Horne. This is from 1943. Our call to worship this morning is the words of Marty Meehan. Black History Month must be more than just a month of remembrance. It should be a tribute to our history and a reminder of the work that lies ahead in the months and the years ahead.
Our chalice lighting today was written by Jeannie Shero. Let the only burning be the fire of commitment in your hearts, minds, hands, and spirits in our community of faith. Live solidarity. Use your voice. Demand justice. Better, live it into being. Cry out for others to join you. Now join me in the affirmation of our covenant, the words of which are in your order of service. We proudly carry the flame of religious freedom. We respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. We encourage each other to spiritual growth that makes for peace, ethical living, and community service. This is our covenant. Now Nancy's going to lead us in hymn number 100 in your books.
We can.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're good.
Thank you.
Whether in community with others or as an individual, we know that active, tangible expressions of love, justice, and peace are what make a difference. Members and friends, please consider giving to the church through the donation link found through the QR code on the back of your bulletin. Each month, our congregation chooses a local nonprofit to support with our offering. This month, the nonprofit is the Hendricks County Food Pantry Coalition. Any cash offering collected in the plates at the back or the side of the sanctuary will be given to this nonprofit. If you give a check offering, please note if it is for the church or that nonprofit. And now Nancy has another song for us.
Think about the life I live, a figure made of clay, and think about the things I lost. Got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Alabama's got me so upset. California's made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Can't you see it? I know you can feel it. It's all in the air. I can't stand this pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's got me so upset, and Tennessee's made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail, black cat cross my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine, we all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there, I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you, me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know, they keep on saying go slow. That's what they say, go slow, that's what they say, go slow. That's what's the trouble,
slow.
Washing the windows,
slow.
Picking the cotton,
slow.
With nothing but rot. We're too damn lazy.
No.
I think it's crazy.
No.
Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know. I don't know. Just try to do your very best. Stand up, be counted with all the rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. picket lines, school boy cops. They try to say it's a communist plot, but all I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. My people and me. You lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine, just like a lady. You'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. But my country's full of lies. We all gonna die and die like flies. 'Cause I don't trust nobody anymore. They keep on saying, go slow. Yeah, that's what they say. Go slow. Well, that's just the trouble. Desegregation. Mass participation. Unification. Do things gradually.
Now is our time for joys, concerns, milestones, remembrances in our own lives and the life of this congregation or on behalf of the wider community. We invite you to come forward and say a few brief words and drop a stone in the water, or you may drop a stone in the water silently if you prefer. Let's see if... This morning we are thinking with loving kindness of all those in our congregation or known and loved by our congregation who are in a time of transition, loss, uncertainty, or fear. May their fears be assuaged, their minds put at ease, and their hearts be comforted. We are thinking of all those who have joys, concerns, milestones, and remembrances on this morning. Let's join our hearts together in a moment of silence in contemplation on the joys and concerns of the day. Blessed be.
What happens next?
Our first reading today is Freedom, a poem written by Langston Hughes. Freedom will not come today, this year, nor ever through compromise and fear. I have as much right as the other fellow has to stand on my two feet and own the land. I tire so of hearing people say, let things take their course, tomorrow is another day. I do not need my freedom when I'm dead. I cannot live on tomorrow's bread. Freedom is a strong seed planted in a great need. I live here too. I want my freedom just as you.
How's that seem? This is an excerpt from Amanda Gorman's poem, The Hill We Climb, that she did for the inauguration. She is the youth poet laureate. When day comes, we ask ourselves, when can we find light in this never-ending shade? We are striving to forge a union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our futures first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so that we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. The hill we climb, if only we dare, is because America is more than a pride we inherit. It's a past we step into and how we repair it. So let us leave behind a country better than the one we were left with. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover. And every known nook of our nation and every corner called our country, our people diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light. If only we are brave enough to see it, if only we are brave enough to be it. When Natalie Brake and I first started talking about what I might preach about for this morning's worship service, we talked about Black History Month. And I also saw that this month is the birthday of Langston Hughes, who was born on February 1st, 1901. And Langston Hughes, who was a poet, a playwright, and a novelist, is one of the best known luminaries of the Harlem Renaissance. When I looked ahead and saw those three historic achievements in our nation, Black History Month, the works of Langston Hughes, and the Harlem Renaissance, personally, I didn't want the month of February to go by without giving ourselves the opportunity to learn more about the achievements of Black people in our nation. And Natalie didn't want the month to go by either. We in our nation wouldn't have a Black History Month today if it weren't for a Black historian, Carter G. Woodson, and the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, which is now called the Association for the Study of African American Life and History. In 1926, that organization sponsored a national Negro History Week. They chose the second week of February to coincide with birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. In the following decades, mayors of cities began setting aside a Negro History Week. And by the late 1960s, on many college campuses, Negro History Week had expanded to Black History Month. It was in 1976 that President Gerald Ford officially declared February to be our National Black History Month, saying it was to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. And I was also pleased when I Googled Honoring Black History Month, Hendricks County, Indiana, to see that the website for Hendricks County has a whole section that lifts up Black-owned businesses in our area. The website says, as Hendricks County, Indiana grows, it becomes more diverse. Small businesses open and flourish here on a regular basis, and we get awfully excited about them, the Hendricks County, Indiana website says. As you can see by the hundreds of posts on our blog, we highlight Black-owned businesses in this blog as a way to promote racial diversity and to help residents and visitors support them. These particular businesses offer things to do, specializing in weddings and meetings and parties, and they provide places to eat and places to shop in Avon, Brownsburg, Danville, Plainfield, and elsewhere around the county. So the first one listed is African Plum Home and More. It's a family-owned furniture shop in Plainfield that features an eclectic mix of new and restyled furniture, local and world-traveled decor, and handmade and beloved pieces. Like, I want to go. A second one, also in Plainfield, is called Awesome Organics, which provides products and education about holistic health and wellness as an alternative to pharmaceutical drugs. Then there's Best Friends Coffee and Bagel in Brownsburg, and also Bonnie's Place in Avon. Dragonfly Elite Martial Arts and Fitness is in Plainfield, and the Indiana Lions basketball is a great source of inexpensive family fun. And I'm sure you already know about and love Marco's Pizza. There's also Press Play Gaming Lounge in Brownsburg, and SSC Personal Services looks like it's a great help. It's owned and operated by Tanisha Foy, an RN, with more than 20 years experience, and they offer a variety of direct care services, including home health aids, medication reminders, and education on topics such as CPR, AED use, and first aid certification. And last, but perhaps most appealingly, is Sweet Minis Cakes and Bakes, owned by Chef Casey Ward. So I hope that you will look into and support these Black-owned businesses all year round. In this morning's reading, we were able to hear the distinctively animated literary voice of Langston Hughes. He produced a huge volume of poetry and prose and was both influenced by and he influenced the jazz music that Black people were creating and playing at that time. The website poets.org states that Langston Hughes's life and work were enormously important in shaping the artistic contributions of the Harlem Renaissance of the 1920s. And that website states that Langston Hughes wanted to tell the stories of his people in ways that reflected their actual culture, including their love of music, love of laughter, love of language itself alongside their suffering, and he addressed his poetry to the people, specifically to the Black people. In November of 2019, the annual UU Ministers study group that I have attended, called Ohio River Group, studied as our topic that year the Harlem Renaissance, since it was the 100th anniversary of its beginnings. We watched a film called Looking for Langston. My colleague, the Reverend Mark Bellatini, wrote some brief comments about that film. He said, in part, "The movie was an impressionistic meditation on what the Harlem Renaissance exemplified for people of color, Black people discovering that everything said about them by whites was, in fact, a lie. The Renaissance spirit lifted them up and out of the social psychological oppression of 350 years in the context of neighborhood community. In that new freedom, they began to let go of negative white voices in their head and white norms overruling their own cultures and began to accept themselves as agents of their own lives. They knew they could compose great literature, paint and sculpt stunning art, sing with soul, and analyze past the limited cataracts of racialized Euro-American eyes. They could craft deep philosophies equal to anything out of the European traditions, and offer social critiques, including critiques of religion, with intellectual vigor." End of quote. When many people think of the Harlem Renaissance, the main thing they think of is jazz music, but the Harlem Renaissance actually also encompassed literary, theatrical, and visual arts as Black people reconceptualized what the label "the Negro" means. Separate from how their relationship to each other and their heritage had been stereotyped by white people, the Harlem Renaissance was also characterized by intense debate, and it was closely aligned to the civil rights efforts and organizations of that time. When, in that Unitarian Universalist Ministers study group, we looked at the jazz of the Harlem Renaissance, our eyes were opened in a number of ways. We had not realized how segregated the venues were where those brilliant musicians and singers and dancers were creating and performing. My colleague, the Reverend Dennis McCarty, who you might know, Dennis, delved into that segregated world in his paper called Voices from the Cotton Club. He wrote, The Cotton Club opened on 142nd Street in Harlem in 1923. It operated there for about a dozen years, a strictly segregated establishment. After the Harlem riots in 1935, it moved to Broadway. The waitstaff and musicians were almost all African Americans. The ownership, supervision, and clientele were almost all white. For those 17 years, it could be said that the Cotton Club defined what jazz music was. It could also be said that because, with few exceptions, African Americans were not allowed in to listen to the music of African American genius, the Cotton Club also defines what cultural appropriation was. End of quote. So at the end of our discussion of my colleague's paper, I found myself saying to that group of ministers that before this study group, I had never really thought about the name, the Cotton Club. I had only thought of it as a name of an entertainment venue. But now I'm able to feel how exploitative that name and that venue were. Another luminary of the Harlem Renaissance that we looked to more deeply was the writer Zora Neale Hurston. My colleague, the Reverend Chip Rausch, wrote a short paper about her and her work. The paper brought to light for us how many of the artists and writers of the Harlem Renaissance were producing their work for the perceived taste of their white patrons or benefactors. What that means is that those artists and writers were not being as authentic and were not presenting their communities as authentically as those whose audience was people of color. Zora Neale Hurston, on the other hand, was not trying to please any specific group. She wrote her stories in the dialect of the people that she had grown up among and infused those stories with folklore and mysticism. She also dared to write about the prejudices and misogyny within Black communities. My colleague concluded his paper by saying, "By finding the strength to tell her stories exactly as she felt and imagined them, Zora Neale Hurston both embodied and transcended the rest of the Harlem Renaissance." I began this sermon by saying that I did not want the month of February to go by without realizing that it was Black History Month. And it's a good thing that I didn't begin this sermon by saying that I did not want the month of February to go by before we realized it was Black History Month. Because if I had phrased it that way, I would have been excluding the fact that there will always be, in any community, people for whom Black history is so close to home that they do not have the choice not to think about it. The fact that I have the choice to give extra thought and care to Black History Month is a reality of my social privilege. The term privilege may be uncomfortable to some of you. Personally, I haven't always felt comfortable with it. I grew up in a lower middle class economic background. So there are ways in how I grew up and how I lived most of my adult life that I have not been privileged, not economically. But I do benefit from white privilege. The concept of social privilege comes from the great Black American sociologist and historian W.E.B. Du Bois and his 1903 book, The Souls of Black Folk. And W.E.B. Du Bois and his work were so central to the Harlem Renaissance that I would assert that the Harlem Renaissance could not have happened without his influence and inspiration and patronage. In The Souls of Black Folk, Du Bois wrote, "Although African Americans were observant of white Americans and conscious of racial discrimination, white Americans didn't think much about African Americans, nor about the effects of racial discrimination." In 1935, Du Bois wrote what he called the wages of whiteness held by white Americans. He wrote that these include that white people receive and benefit from courtesy and deference, unimpeded admittance to all public functions, lenient treatment in court, and access to the best schools. In essence, social privilege means that a person can choose to give thought, care, and attention to the harms experienced by another group of people who do not have the choice to not experience those harms. So I hope on this morning, toward the end of Black History Month, We've all learned some new things about Black history in our nation. And my larger hope is that in the months ahead and the years ahead, we allow others the space to tell us their stories as they have felt and experienced them in their own words and through their own choices of forms of expression. Because the Harlem Renaissance at its worst restricted people of color from doing that. And because the very best of the Harlem Renaissance made it possible for people of color to do exactly that. Our closing song is called Throw It Away by Abby Lincoln, and the lyrics will be on your screen. I'm not sure if they are also in the order of service. Is this what we want? Is this a recording?
Yeah, it's a recording.
Okay.
The words are on the screen.
Great. Great.
Think about the life I live, a figure made of clay, and think about the things I lost, the things I gave away. And when I'm in a certain mood, I search the halls and look. One night I found these magic words in a magic book. Throw it away, throw it away. Give your life, give your luck, each and every day. And keep your hand wide open, let the sun shine through. 'Cause you can never lose a thing if it belongs to you. There's a hand that rocks the cradle, and a hand to help us stand with a gentle kind of motion as it moves across the land. And the hands unclenched and open, gifts of life and love it brings. So keep your hand wide open if you need anything. Throw it away, throw it away. Give your love, live your life each and every day. And keep your hand wide open, let the sun shine through. 'Cause you can never lose a thing if it belongs to you. A natural obligation to what we own and claim, possessing and belonging to, acknowledging a name. So keep your hand wide open if you're needing love today, 'cause you can't lose it even if you throw it all away. Each and every day, and keep your hand wide open. Let the sun shine through, 'cause you can never lose a thing if it belongs to you. If it belongs to you, you can never lose a thing. If it belongs to you.
Our words of benediction are from the poem by Langston Hughes called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turned all gold in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
That gives, may the love that gives to life its beauty, the reverence that gives to life its sacredness, and the purposes that give to life its deep significance be strong within each of us and lead us into ever deepening relationships with all of life. Amen.